We are excited to have you here tonight on a evening like tonight. You're a hearty lot. Praise God for hearty Albertans. And for those of you that drove in from Saskatchewan and BC, we want to welcome you here tonight. So if you're here tonight and you haven't been here before, we just want to make sure you feel welcome. And if you're not, you need to nudge the person beside you and say, "Can you say hi to me so I feel welcome here tonight?" Can you do that? Awesome. And so at this time, Grace is going to come up. And as you can follow along in front of you, the lighting of the Advent candle, this is the third Sunday. And tonight we're focusing on joy. So I'm going to start to read. You can follow along. And Grace is going to be lighting three of the candles tonight, and the pink one is for joy. On this third Friday of Advent, as we think about the coming of Jesus Christ, we light the candle of joy. When Christ comes into our lives, he brings the fullness of joy. He anoints our hearts with the oil of gladness. When Jesus was born, the angels said that his coming was good news of great joy for all people. Because Christ has come to us, we can live every day in the joy of the Lord. Praise his name. So tonight, as we prayed as a leadership team before we even came out, tonight we just want everyone in this place to experience that joy. I know the world we're living in today, joy can be very fleeting. And maybe you've come here tonight and you have come in with a heavy heart. We just pray before this evening is out that you're just going to sense the joy of the Lord. And that's our prayer, and that's God's desire for each one of us here tonight. So tonight we're going to do a bit of a recap here. The last two Sundays, the first one that was preaching on was actually on hope. And really, hope is really waiting on the Lord for what God's going to do in our lives. I just want to, just for a minute, on hope. You can live with a lot of things, but you cannot live without hope. Hope is that thing when you're in that place, in the pig pen of your life. We've all been there sometime under different situations, different circumstances, but when you get in that pig pen of life and there doesn't seem to be any hope, as the prodigal son was in that pig pen, there was no hope there. When he was envying the pigs for what they were eating, he was at the end of hope. But he said, "Do you know what? I'm going to go back to the Father." For all of us, there's hope. But it's a choice you're going to have to make. You can stay there, or you're going to say, "I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to change this. I'm going to step out of the boat as Peter stepped out of the boat." Peter is the only one documented that got out of the boat. And when he started to sink, guess who held out the hand to Peter? His name is Jesus. And he's holding his hand out to you. That is hope. We're living in a world today that just seems to be one thing after another. Where's the hope? I'm here to tell you tonight, the hope is in Jesus. Outside of that, there is no hope. But we all have to make decisions. You can stay in the pig pen of life, or you can say, "No, I'm going to the Father." But that's your decision. It says, "Choose you this day who you'll serve." It's an act. It's your decision, your call. You can stay there or get out of the pig pen. Well, I'm just warming up. That's just from 2 weeks ago. See what you missed? The next one that I'm going to look at very briefly is peace. Would you say that we're living in a world full of peace right now? We're not? I mean, goodness sakes, all the peace agreements that we sign and all of that, nothing's happening? Can't. It won't. Until the Prince of Peace comes back. Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's where it is. There's the peace. That peace that passes all understanding. My prayer for you tonight, whatever you're working through, or maybe right now you're just that on the top of the mountain and you're just saying, just life is so good. But maybe tonight you're saying, you know what, I'm in a valley. But I'm here to tell you the Prince of Peace, he's right there with you. All you need to say, help me, dear Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that Prince of Peace will pick you up and wrap his loving arms around you. Because when he died on that cross, he said, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. We're still like that. But Jesus has forgiven you and he loves you. But all you need to do is say, dear Jesus, I need you. So tonight we're going to look at joy. So I'm going to open my text tonight. I'm going to start with joy. And our prayer tonight, like I said before, in our prayer time before the service, that everyone that comes into this place will leave sensing that joy in your heart. Maybe your situation hasn't changed, but that joy is down inside of you. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start on verse 8. I always really appreciate the worship teams, the songs that they pick. And it's always amazing what God does, how they line up with the message that I'm going to share. Luke chapter 2, starting verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. My loving Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that as your word goes forth, that tonight it'll bear fruit in this place. Fruit that will last for eternity. I pray, Lord, that what might be one word, one sentence, one illustration, Lord, that would touch a heart in this place tonight. And as they walk out into the brightness of the fresh snow, Lord, might there be a lightness in their step as they experience you in a new way. And Lord, now we commit ourselves in your hands. In your precious name I pray. Amen. I've been doing this series on heaven. Heaven is the main title. Underneath are the advent, glory, peace, joy. And so what we're doing is we're tying heaven into every case. Whenever we read about these Advent symbols, in it you're going to find heaven. I think it's important that heaven is what? Used over 400 times in the Bible. I just forget the number, I looked it up, but the word heaven is used many times. So heaven is a real place. So in that, how do we experience heaven here on earth? I'm so glad you asked. I'm going to start, first of all, with verse 8. We're just going to go back and just, as we read this text quickly, let's take a closer look at it. Verse 8. And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Okay, a little bit of history lesson here. To be out in the fields was a seasonal thing because you'd only look after the sheep from March to just the beginning of December. Right now, if you watch the news, Israel is in its rainy season and they've just been getting rain, floods. Streams that haven't run for ages are running. So during that season, they take the flocks into caves and into different homemade sheds and things. So when they say they were in the fields, that's where they were. It was a particular time of the year. From March to the beginning of December. And as you're well know aware of it, Christmas is never mentioned in the Bible. You know that. And we're not even really sure at what time of year Jesus was born. But I look at Christmas this way. It is the easiest, best way to share the love of Jesus at Christmas time. It's an open door. Don't say to somebody, happy holidays. Never. It's not happy holidays. It is a merry, blessed Christmas. May you experience the blessings of God. When you look that Walmart clerk in the eye, you just smile at him and say, may you have a blessed Christmas. And he's got to say something back to you. He will. But isn't this a great time to let the joy come? Come on, guys. It's the great time. Don't be the sourpuss complaining that you didn't get the whole discount. Be the joy. Being a live Christian that just is so excited because Jesus came onto this earth. I'm telling you, if the angels got excited, you think we can't just get a little bit too? I love you guys. Work with me here tonight, okay? And now there were in the same field shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Do you know, I bet those angels lit up that star, that sky that night. That must have been. You know, shepherds, it was a very, very tough profession. Very lonely. You know, just put yourself in a position of sitting out there night after night chasing coyotes. Like, I'm talking Alberta. Wes was telling us how many coyotes cross his property. Some coyotes are fresh in my mind. But it was a very lonely life. They didn't have anybody to communicate with other than talk to their sheep. And so I'm sure When that sky lit up that night, when they said, it says they were afraid. They were afraid. It's interesting what people think about, really about heaven and angels. There's a Christmas film called It's a Wonderful Life. It's the most watched Christmas film. And you say, well, I've never heard of it. Well, actually, last night, Annette and I just watched a clip to refresh our memory. It's been so long. But the gist of the story is there is an angel called Clarence. And Clarence wants to get his wings. He's in heaven, and the only way you get your wings is if you do something good on earth. And there's a man on earth called Charlie Bailey, who is everything's going wrong. It doesn't matter. So Clarence is supposed to go down there and help Charlie Bailey so Clarence can get his wings. Now, we have a serious problem with that doctrine. To start with, it's not biblical. Angels don't earn their wings. Angels were created by God, and the word angel means messenger. So whenever there was important news or something God wanted done, he would send one of his angels or a host of angels. So the world that we're living in today, I don't know, maybe people actually watch this film and say, well, I guess that's what heaven is about. Well, I have to disappoint you tonight. That isn't the way it is. Angels do not earn their wings. And they're not sent to earth to help a Charlie Bailey out like he needed help. But God can send one of his angels that can speak to you. An angel on an assignment. We pick up on verse 11 as we continue to read. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, I just want to stop there just for a moment. What is a heavenly host? How many is that? 10? 20? Well, here's a little bit of information. If you just leave with this tonight, you've done well. Under the Greek translation, a host can be as high as 10,000. That's the maximum it can be, and a multitude. A multitude can be as high as 10,000. But just visualize for a minute, if it's only 2,000 or 3,000. Wow. I'm telling you, when he said the angels were afraid, I get that. The shepherds, I meant to say. Thank you, dear. My wife is really special. She's my coach in the front here. She holds up cards. Thank you, dear. We'll have a staff meeting after the service. A multitude. Up to 10,000. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So it said the angels were a heavenly host. So somewhere in here, we need to bring heaven into this subject. So I found it really good to go back to Job. You'll keep your finger in Luke 2, but we're going to flip back to Job. I want to bring this to the forefront as what has Job got to do with this? Job chapter 38. In this case, I've been preaching out of the New King James, but this one I want to read out of the New Living Translation. Job 38. For those of you looking for it, that's in the Old Testament. 38. Page 411. Reads as follows. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. God is saying this to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundation? Who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. Wow. Those angels, they were there when God spoke this world into existence, and they shouted with joy. Isn't that awesome? And here we are again. Now Jesus is coming to this earth, and those angels are shouting with joy again. Glory! Excuse me if I get excited. My goodness. You need to understand, when Jesus came from his heavenly throne, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus always has been. God created the angels. But when Jesus came down from heaven and came and walked on this earth, he wasn't in heaven any longer. He was walking among us. So who was in heaven? The Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked with us. Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. And he came and he walked among us. And he came originally for his own people, and they rejected him. He said, I'd like to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. I want to gather you in. I love you. And they rejected him. It's hard to understand that. But you know, we as parents, if you gave your child to someone hoping that would change their life, and they just abused your child and killed them, how would you feel? How would you feel? And yet, God so loved the world that he gave. He loved me. He loves me. And he loves you. He gave everything that we might have life. I just needed to read that from Job, that God is saying the angels rejoiced when this world was recreated. But see, the angels he created with us as human beings, we are made in God's image. Inside of us is a spirit that his creation does not have. He spoke them into existence. In us, he breathed the life, a breath of life into us. And that's why when we pass away, it's not the end. This spirit is going to go one way or the other by the choice you made here on earth. That's reality. Do not fear him who's able to destroy the body, but fear him who's able to destroy the body and cast the soul into hell. That's Bible. That's reality. But God made a way that we all might have life. And that's why Jesus came to this earth as a baby. I want to flip back to Luke 2. Back to Luke 2. The last verse I want to read is 15. 15, which reads as follows. 15 says, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into where?" Wow, there's heaven again. So where do you think the angels hang out? They do. "That the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Let's go and see. And which they did. They found the baby Jesus in a manger. And anybody that's been raised on a farm knows that it can be quite an interesting place, the barn. Myself being raised on the farm, I know. Because my dad made me clean out the stalls. I know what the barn is like. It's nasty. And that's where our Lord and Savior was laid in swaddling clothes. But I want to bring you now to Galatians 5. Most of you would know this one off by heart. Galatians 5, 22. Here's the fruit of the Spirit that I want to leave you with tonight. This is, you don't find lemons on an apple tree. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This needs to be the fruit of your life. And if your life is not producing this fruit, the Bible says if you'll confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You have to say, "Lord, there's areas in my life I need you. I surrender it to you." So Galatians 5, starting verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit," here it is, "love, joy, peace." How are you doing? You got your little checkoff list? "I'm just the greatest person to be around. I love everybody." Come on now. Your report card. "Love, joy, peace, long suffering." You know, there's some people it's easier to be around and suffer with them. But some, you're really suffering. Long suffering. Stay with them. Love them. In my Bible, I don't know why, but they have emphasized kindness is in really dark letters. Kindness. You know, this time of year, find a way, say, "Lord, who can I show kindness to this time of year?" Find someone maybe that just rubs you the wrong way. You don't even know why. Maybe you, if you don't make cookies, well, go to Costco and buy a dozen. Just find someone and show them the love of Jesus. Is that too much? If you ask the Lord, He'll show you. There's someone really close to you that really needs encouragement right now. And you need to respond. I want to share this story with you. Before the Lord called me in full-time ministry in 1991, I was in the oil patch. And the company I worked with, the head office was in Fort Worth, Texas. And mine was public relations, so really they gave me a new car every year, open expense account, and I played racquetball and golfed. That was my job. But I was a born-again believer. Like, I was, to be a believer in the oil patch can be pretty tough. I wouldn't take guys out and drink with them. In fact, they said, you'll never make it out there if you don't do these things. And I said, I ain't. You'll never catch me in a bar. I'll take them out for lunch. I'll play racquetball with them. I'll golf. I'll play hockey with them. I'll curl with them. But you won't find me in a bar. And one day I'm sitting in my office, and it's on me. There's this engineer with an oil company in Calgary. You need to phone him and encourage him. He's just become a Christian. I'm saying, you've got to be kidding me. I am not listening. Nope, I'm not listening. This is suicide. You don't phone somebody up in the oil patch and say, how are you doing with Jesus? You're dead. I don't like being barbecued. I'm there and I'm not. Nope. 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 I'm not doing this. Okay. I thought, well, he won't answer. That'll work. Hi. Is Gary in? Yes, he's right here. No. Hi, Gary. This is Ken Stump, and this is the company I'm with, and I've just been, I was just wondering how you're doing with Jesus. Oh, I'm dead. Well, I'm really glad you phoned. I really need that encouragement right now. I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. But it was a God moment. He needed to hear that very moment. Because he was going through what I went through and was going through. But the old enemy will just whisper and say, don't do it. You're going to look like a dummy. It's going to cost your job. Why would you do that? And I just said, you know what, I just, I'm so glad I called you, and yeah, it's great. Goodbye. What else have you to say? Never talk to Gary again. But do you know what? I know one thing. If I wouldn't allowed myself to be used by God, he would have found somebody else. That's how it works. God will say, I'll use this one, and if he doesn't respond, I'll find someone else. And you know what? You rob yourself of a blessing. Don't do it. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, verse 23. Gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. Only you can check off your report card. It's your call. Nobody can do that for you. It's between you and the Lord. And he will speak to your heart in areas you know that you're not getting an A. Man, it got quiet in here all of a sudden. Ooh. Last night we had our condo Christmas banquet. I just love, I can make a meal of mashed potatoes, gravy, and turkey. I don't even eat the rest. Just bring on the gravy and mashed potatoes. It was awesome. That's all I got raised on because that's all we had. But they asked me to say the blessing before the meal. I really considered it an honor to to do that. Because there were people in the group. We have a large rec room, and it was catered. But I know from last year there were those that say, why do we have to bother with this prayer stuff? Do you know what? If you don't want to listen, close your ears then. But I just got to pray blessing on their home, blessing on their lives, blessing on the food. What a privilege that God will allow you to be put in a position to do that. And make sure you're always available. Say, oh no, I don't do that. If you don't know how to pray by now, you need to question your walk with the Lord. I should be able to ask anyone in here, can you please stand up and pray? Any one of you. Come on now. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you should be able to do that. Because the Bible says we are to pray unceasingly. That's our communication with God. So whether you're doing it, you say, well, I'm just really private. It's just me and God. I don't know. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns in the middle of the night, chained between two guards. And the earthquake shook that place. Every one of us, I'm challenging you now, needs to be able to pray. Can I hear just a weak amen to that? Just amen. Help me out here a little bit. I'm feeling really lonely up here right now. So I'm pushing some buttons. I know I am. But I'm doing it intentionally. I love you. How's your prayer life with your heavenly King? And you know when somebody prays, you hear their heart. You get to know who they are. And for those of you that are married and have spouses, pray together. That's how you get to know your spouse. That's how I know Annette. A lot of times I don't understand what she's doing, but when she gets to praying, I know what she is. I understand her. I understand her heart as a wife, a mom, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother. I hear her heart. That's what happens when we pray together. Do you hear the heart of the other individual? It was such a blessing this week to get to pray with Wes in his home. It was just a blessing. And we had to leave the last piece of apple pie there too. I felt bad about that. Who got it, Gloria? Did you or Wes? Wes did. Good for him. In conclusion, I just want to read you something here. Thank you for being so attentive tonight. Appreciate it. I feel like God is speaking to each one of us in a different way. Just want to read you this quick story that I felt kind of tied it all together here tonight. As I was walking down life's highway many years ago, I came upon a sign that read, Heaven's Grocery Store. When I got a little closer, the door swung wide open, and when I came to myself, I was standing inside. I saw a host of angels. They were standing everywhere, and one handed me a basket and said, my child, shop with care. Everything a human needed was in that grocery store, and what you could not carry, you could come back for more. First, I got some patience. And love was in that same role. And further down was understanding you need that everywhere you go. I got a box or two of wisdom and faith, a bag or two. And charity, of course, I would need some of that too. I couldn't miss the Holy Spirit. It was all over the place. And then some strength and courage to help me run the race. My basket was getting full, but I remembered I needed grace. And then I chose salvation, for salvation was free. I tried to get enough of that to do for you and me. Then I started to the counter to pay my grocery bill, for I thought I had everything to do the Master's will. And as I went up the aisle, I saw prayer and put that into. For I knew when I stepped outside, I would run into sin. Peace and joy were plentiful and the last things on the shelf. Song and praise were hanging near, so I just helped myself. And then I said to the angel, "Now, how much do I owe?" The angel smiled and said, "Just take them everywhere you go." Again, I ask, "Really now, how much do I owe?" "My child," the angel said, "God paid your bill a long time ago." That's it. God paid your bill a long time ago. It's done. Now all you are supposed to do is take it and use it for His glory. Lord, I just pray tonight this message touched a heart in this place, and may they feel encouraged and strengthened whatever they're walking through. But God, whatever they're struggling with or whatever that might look like in the pig pen of life, may they say, "I'm going to the Father." Because, Lord, you said you have a plan for our lives, a plan to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. And you said if we'll call upon you and pray to you, you will listen. So, Lord, we give ourselves into your hands now, knowing the bill is paid in full. In your precious name I pray, amen. I'd just like to pray the benediction and ask the blessing on the food first. Our loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the food that has been prepared. We pray a blessing on the hands that are prepared, Lord. We pray a blessing on our fellowship together. And I pray that everyone that has come into this place tonight has sensed your love. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.
May God give you gentle